From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. Wow, man, considering the bloody day today, I'm thinking that song was perfectly appropriate. So appropriate, we need a nearly dead Ric Flair.
Whoa!
That's right, kids. That nearly dead Ric Flair is the nearly dead crypto markets today. Well, I'd like to say that I actually went ahead and spent a whole lot of time putting the show together today, but so much shit has come up during the week that the show is kind of thrown together the same way that Nikki Glaser describes her vagina on, like, the talk show. It's like a hastily packed suitcase. But you know what? We're going to go ahead and make it happen anyways because that's the job, right? And it's Friday night. And you know what? The Circle of Intimacy right now probably needs, I don't know, a pat on the back, something, let everybody know freaking life is going to be okay at this point. Because, wow, deep sea of red. So a few things to get out of the way first. First things first, today is episode 97 of Jockulation. I can't even freaking believe it's episode 97, considering I did another 30 or 40 of Voices from the Mountains and then this, and I'm just like, holy shit, man, that's a long, long time to be doing a solo show. And it's funny that on this show, Ron should start asking about, former hosts and all that stuff that I had done that show with. So 100 shows is coming up. We got three more shows before the 100th episode. Do we have any clue what we're going to do over here? I'm just...
How about news?
Yeah, I haven't even put together a thought of whether or not we're going to actually celebrate 100 or how we're going to do it if we do. So I'll have to go ahead and think about that. The other thing to go ahead and do, it's sort of like housekeeping, is subscribers. Holy shit, I never in a million years thought that I would get that kind of activity week one out of the gate. All I can say is I am fucking floored. So thank you, everybody, that has gone ahead and subscribed to the podcast on whatever listening device you're on. I am absolutely fucking blown away. So thanks for everything. The one favor that I would go ahead and ask of you is please just share it with a friend. Help me grow it organically, and let's see how we can go ahead and go about it from there. Cool? Awesome. Again, thanks for everything. My God. All right, kids, on to the show, man. So I'm kind of sitting over here dealing with... Hope Soapy isn't too floored to make it through this show. Hey, Nine, I got a job to do tonight, don't I? I mean, it's not like they can go ahead and live inside of a vacuum somewhere over there. Gotta make more. Gotta feel like that dude in the donkey show over inside of Clerks, too. Gotta hurry up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. Wow. Seriously. It's when you're sitting there and taking a look at all the freaking downloads, it's like, what? And then looking across the spectrum of where they're coming from, it's just fucking weird. It was funny. I was big in India for about 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden, the advertising kicked in, and kaboom, the United States just said, fuck you. It's kind of funny. At any rate, man, enough of that. So I'm, wandering around unescorted over on the interwebs, and, there's big stories out there about how it is that put a whiskey away until halftime. It's bourbon tonight again, Normock. Bourbon. So there goes the show again, right? So I'm looking all over the interwebs, and there's this whole dispute about everything that's going on with giving people free money in other states and stuff. And, of course, it's bringing up all kinds of issues about what happened to that PPP money, right? Well, doing my detective work and all that, I went and took a look, and I made sure to find out what was going on. And the first thing I come across is apparently Daniel Miller decided that with her bucks, with her, Trump bucks and then Biden bucks, then, some PPP money courtesy of people who never even knew she was taking it. She decided, no, we're not doing shots. She decided all of a sudden, hey, guess what? I think I'm going to go ahead and get about 100K in like COVID support cash, courtesy of a bunch of other people, and I'm going to go ahead and fly a bunch of private jets and shit like that. So Instagram model Danielle Miller allegedly used the information of another woman to access a COVID relief fund for small businesses. Authorities claim she used her victim's personal information to create a bank account through which the State Registry of Motor Vehicles stuff information ran. She then used the same information to apply for federally funded economic disaster loans, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Massachusetts claims. Now, CBS Miami reports that they also found out Miller applied for over $900,000 in other business loans using information from the other fucking victims. So this bitch went ahead. She busted down the door to get into DMV's vehicle motor, whatever, registered, driver's license database or whatnot. Pulled down all of the freaking, information. Hey there, Eileen. Pulled down everybody's personal information and just said, you know what these people need? They need PPP loans. And all their money needs to go to me. And I'm like, dude, that's such a brilliant scam. So she went ahead and did that. And I'm thinking to myself, does anybody, remember the good old days when all anyone, really did to was get upset with you and order 20 pizzas from the local pizza shop and stick you with a $100 bill for shit you never ordered? I mean, I remember those good old days. And then we got this shit going on now with the fucking COVID virus and PPP loans that don't require any shred of proof. And guess what? Instantly you can have, you can be a millionaire all by yourself, courtesy of people that have absolutely no idea that you've, borrowed their credit and their information to become a millionaire. I mean, realistically, what should she have done? She probably should have just turned around and said, you know something? Let me go ahead and do Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Let me just open up 20 or 30 fake stores that have no employees in them, file for PPP loans and shit, and just go ahead and tell them that I got a lot of payroll and put all of my family on those fucking payroll. You know what I'm saying? That would have been the easiest way to do it. But I mean, in the end, did she wind up actually doing that, Carlos? I'm just kind of asking myself.
No,
she's probably, she didn't. She's probably going to be spending an awful lot of time over inside of the federal pokey, right? Because I mean, she's sitting here basically defrauding the government and a whole bunch of other people. But, that brings up a bigger question about, hey, man, what the fuck's going on with this COVID money, right? Where is it all going? People are asking, inquiring minds want to know. And they want to know if it's being spent responsibly like they did in Japan when they went ahead and splashed $235,000 worth of public COVID funds on a massive illuminated squid. That's right, kids. Nato, a small town in Japan, has used government subsidies meant for the community on a 13-meter-long pink creature. And they put it in front of a row of souvenir shops to pretend like it's actually meaningful and was supposed to do something. Yeah, so at night, though, it's illuminated by spotlights. So they splashed out $235,000 of COVID relief money on the giant squid in a bid to boost tourism, allegedly. The residents, though, were kind of angry. They thought they should have been consulted over this squid that they was put over there. And to make matters worse, the authority had to add a further 13,000 British sterling from other community funds due to the overall expenses of the project. Listen, man, I'm sitting here saying, so first, $235K is not enough. Now you're going to fucking tax me and take the extra money so you can put lights on it like a goddamn Christmas tree, like a fucking monument to your fucking failure, right? How awesome is that? Isn't this the kind of shit you'd expect to see if you signed up a 4-year-old kid to the forgivable PPP loan, gave the kid the funds and dropped him off at the mall for a fucking hour or something like that, unescorted? I mean, shit. What would have been better is if it was made out of fucking Legos. That would have been awesome. And I mean, you could see it, right? Your son comes back for, an hour later after he's got $235K to blow. You see he's got all this powdered sugar all over his face, looking all worn out and stuff, stained shirt full of ice cream and all kinds of shit. and a fantastically huge squid with glowing lights in the background. Dude, this would have been epic, right? I'm just sitting here to myself, right? He probably went inside, and you'd be looking at it going, fucker, probably got this goddamn thing from some shit, some dick selling shit in his cart for a going out of business sale. You know, everything must go, including my life-size psychedelic Call of Cthulhu commemorative statue. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, maybe if they just used a small amount of the money to create, like, action figures of the giant illuminated squid and did, like, a complimentary giveaway to the community, maybe they would have felt like they got something tangible for the funds and, like, I don't know, maybe a participation trophy or, like, a reach around without being completely fucked. You know what I'm saying? That sort of thing. I'm surprised this squid. You know, I'll tell you what, Gray. I'm a little surprised myself. I would have absolutely loved to have seen something like that. Or maybe if you had like another thing where they spent half with that and like a Godzilla that would climb out of the bay right in front of them, that would have been cool too. But no, it's just a great big illuminated pink squid there in front of a souvenir shop. And you know, what do? They line item that shit on the public funds for business development.
I mean, what the fuck?
Actually, it should be this one.
That's a scam.
You know, I'm sure that they'll be reelected next year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, accountability is like a thing. And you know something? With accountability, we need some kind of like robust law enforcement on the things that actually matter to hold people accountable to the rule of law. You know what I'm saying? We need something with teeth, people with will to go ahead and actually enforce this shit like they did for this Florida teen who's accused of rigging a homecoming queen election with her mother to be charged as an adult. How about that? To me, that's the important thing. So apparently a Florida teen is accused of rigging a homecoming queen election with her mother and is being charged as an adult, the prosecutor said. Grover, what a name for a girl, and her mother, I should probably not say that in today's day and age of pronouns. What a name for a person. Is she a chess feeder? I don't know. We'll just keep going. Laura Rose Carroll faced multiple felony charges stemming from the October homecoming vote at Tate High School in Pensacola. I'm going to stop there for a second. Let me just reread that a second. They faced multiple felony charges stemming from an October homecoming vote at Tate High School.
I mean, what the fuck?
Carroll accessed the school district's internal system to cast fraudulent votes for her daughter so she would win, officials said. The investigation began in November when the Escambia County School District reported. I should be doing this in like one of those sort of like,
How dare you?
How's that? Is that what you're looking for? I should be doing this in like one of the, America's Most Wanted things. So here we go. Carroll assessed the school district's internal system to cast fraudulent votes for her daughter so that she would win, officials said. The investigation began in November when the Escambia County School District reported unauthorized access into hundreds of student accounts, according to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And let's just stop there. The fucking Florida law... Yeah, Rick Sanchez, Channel 7 News. Gray and I go back a little ways. So I'm sitting here like looking at this, going, wait a minute, you got the fucking Florida Department of Law Enforcement involved? Brother, what the fuck is going on here? Are there not violent crimes being committed? All right, let me get back over to this, right? So, what happened?
Hundreds of votes for the school's homecoming court were flagged as fraudulent, the news release said. There were 117 votes from the same IP address within a short period of time, the investigation found. Investigators found evidence of unauthorized access into the system linked to Carroll's cell phone and computers at home. There were 246 votes cast for homecoming court
from these devices. Are you serious? I'm fucking outraged, dude. I'm absolutely, holy shit,
how
I'm outraged.
You?
Students told investigators at Grover, again, I'm not sure how I should like preface that with a pronoun, but described using her mother's system access or watching her mother's access records for years. And the investigators learned that since August 2019, Carroll's account accessed 372 high school records And 339 of those were Tate students. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
So at the end of the day, what winds up happening here? Well, Carol remains free on a $6,000 bond, and Grover is free on a $2,000 bond. Prosecutors said the mother and daughter each face a maximum of, are we ready? 16-year sentences.
I mean, what the fuck?
16-year sentences. Because what they did was they stuffed the homecoming ballot box. I mean, can you fucking imagine this? It's a quiet fall night. Mom is wrapping up a late night of unappreciated extra work for the Escambia County School District. Grover is busy picking out the homecoming dress to match the tiara because she knows the fix is in. And suddenly the door gets kicked in. SWAT knocks it down. Knee to the back of the head. Everybody frog marched out in cuffs to discover that they're being charged with rigging a homecoming election.
How dare you?
What in the fuck is going on here? Well, I'll tell you something, man. I am fucking outraged and absolutely flabbergasted that the United States Political and Peacekeeping Affairs Commission never sent in the election monitors to ensure free and fair votes were cast for the homecoming court. And given the overwhelming concerns and hand-wringing of the Escambia County-like freaking school district and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, I'm absolutely, like, outraged, all right? Clearly at this stage of the game, they need some freaking UN blue helmet peacekeepers at the prom to accept bribes and look the other way while the legit homecoming court are hauled off in forced labor camps in the kitchen during the, inside the banquet hall. That's what we need to go ahead and actually have happen, right? That would let us know that the world is watching and they take free and fair elections seriously. You know what I'm saying there, man? So, hey, United Nations, where are you when we need you most? I'm just asking, right? Well, I mean, you know, you kind of think that things are out of control, but you're happy to go ahead and see that people are going ahead and taking a firm sort of stance with this no bullshit about rule breaking, you know, kind of like they did to this Texas woman when she's facing felony charges for not returning a VHS test tape two decades ago of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I mean, what the fuck?
So, Karen McBride, a former Oklahoma resident, faced felony embezzlement charges for not returning Sabrina the Teenage Witch. How dare she? I'm just like, oh my God.
How dare you?
To a movie rental store in Norman back in 1999. I mean, does anybody even remember that time? At any rate. But here's the best part. She learned about the charges in Cleveland County after trying to change her name following her marriage in Texas. And McBride was charged in March 2000 for felony embezzlement of rented property. The location, movie place, went out of business in 2008. But she's fucking charged with felony embezzlement of rented property.
Dude, I mean, what the fuck?
You can't make this shit up. You can't make this shit up. See, I don't have to make shit up because there's fucked up shit all throughout the news cycle. Oh, my God, man. So we're sitting here, and I'm like, could you imagine she's sitting there filling out the form over at the office, the name change form, smiling happy, and she's like, dude, I just got married. And they're like, really? Fantastic. What are you changing your name to? And as she's sitting there telling everybody, the woman at the desk calls over a couple of people in the back to go ahead and share the emotional moment with the bride that just got married over here. And they want her to tell her story. And the next thing she knows, federal officers are picking her up out of the chair, slapping the handcuffs on her and dragging her off to the holding cell because, hey, you forgot to go ahead and return your tape like 2 decades ago. You thief, you fucking villain.
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, let's go ahead and see if we can broker a deal here, right? Considering the place is closed and out of business, and considering pretty much every video shop is gone now except, like, the last Blockbuster video store they recently did, like, a whole Netflix movie about, can she just take a hodge to the last Blockbuster video, deposit Sabrina the Teenage Witch into the overnight return slot, and can we just, like, all call it even? I'm just wondering if we could go ahead
and
do
new?
That. Yeah, I need more booze. I hear you, man. I hear you. But you know something? The answer to that's probably no, because we've got to make examples out of people. Otherwise, the rest of the world goes absolutely fucking crazy. You know, like when the drunk Senate Majority Leader of Kansas was calling a police officer Donut Boy after being arrested following a wrong-way highway chase. This is the kind of shit that we've got to go ahead and worry about, right? So Senator Gene Sullentrop, I guess is, or Sullentrop, a Republican, was arrested after driving the wrong way on a highway in the early hours of March 16th. Sullentrop, his vehicle barely missed two others while going like 90 miles an hour on the wrong way on an interstate drive. Gecko, exactly. After unsuccessful attempts to stop him with spikes, law enforcement managed to pull him over with Shepley reportedly saying he looked back at me with a confused, frightened, and blank stare. Sullentrop refused to be breathalyzed but was administered a blood test, probably at gunpoint, and revealed he had a blood alcohol level of 0.17 over the legal limit of 0.08. So the Kansas State Senate Majority Leader called a police officer Donut Boy and said he could take him after being arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence. A day after his arrest, he's temporarily relinquished his position as majority leader, but remains in office. Now, I'm kind of wondering, right? How many boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts were waiting for him inside his congressional office after he made bail? I'm just fucking curious. And it would be epic if all of his campaign donors decided instead of funding his campaign to make a charitable donation to the Kansas Law Enforcement Memorial Foundation in the name of, like, Gene Donut Boy Sullentrop. That would be fucking hilarious. But no worries, man. All of these criminal acts could have easily been circumvented. And Georgia has a solution to, like, reduce crime and get shit under control immediately. Are they going to go ahead and act, you know, increase funding to police out there?
How about new?
Are they going to increase funding to jails? I mean, I'm wondering.
How about new?
Are they going to go ahead and put some sort of facial recognition devices everywhere and all that sort of shit? I mean,
how about new?
Probably not more than they already have currently. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go ahead and make sure that daylight savings time remains permanent so criminals will have one less hour in the evening to commit their crimes.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let's go ahead and take care of the fucking important things. So Governor Brian Kemp signed Senate Bill 100 on April 21st, and the bill was greenlit by the Georgia Assembly in March, and it aims to prevent residents from switching their clocks two times a year. Representative Wes Cantrell said the bill would result in less criminal activity and crashes on the road. Quote, criminals like the cloak of darkness, so they have one less hour in the evening to commit their crimes.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, I at first thought that this was a TikTok joke, right? I'm like, somebody's got to be fucking with me. It's got to be on TikTok. And guess what? Guess what? Is it a TikTok joke?
How about new?
It's not. This is your fucking this is your tax dollars at work, man. Holy fucking shit. You know what? I'm parched. That just wore me out. And I'm going to get a drink. I'm going to go ahead and take a break now. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Hey, kids, how are you doing? It's Friday night. I'm LP Faust, your host. You're listening to Joculation. You know how it goes. So we've got the Circle of Intimacy, which has grown a little bit while I've been off playing.
One of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us.
So at any rate, man, in the first part of the episode, I guess, we went ahead and covered an awful lot. We covered, you know, crime and punishment, really, is what we call it. We went ahead and did. We went ahead and took a look at how those funds are absolutely being used, and we looked at crime and punishment. And in the end, we all just kind of concluded, you know,
That's a scam.
Exactly. So what we're going to do now is we've got to go ahead and move forward. I mean, now that we're in a place where everybody's going to be looking for extra shekels under the couch cushions because, you know, the crypto markets have brutalized the living shit out of most of everybody. Well, you know, we've got to start probably going ahead and selling things like cars and all that. So when you're getting ready to go ahead and put your car up for sale and you put your thing up on the gallery there, just be sure not to include the dick pics that you went ahead and took when you're putting the car up for sale on there, right? So a man had to put up some images of quality-looking 2011 Nissan Navara 4x4 to carsales.com. He listed it at $21,999 US dollars with 96,300 kilometers on the clock. But when Twitter user scrolls through, the gallery of 40 photos, oops, they spotted two dick pics.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'm sure they're pretty offended looking at it like, dude, hey.
How dare you?
At any rate, one image, and this is the worst part, because now you've got somebody parsing this shit. One image was described to be way more subtle, with the photographer pointing at their foot in the background with the schlong in the foreground. But the second image is an unmistakable front shot of it. The Twitter post had a shocking 83 likes and 19 comments. Actually, hold on. Let me get nearly dead Ric Flair. Hold on a second.
Whoa!
There we go. So 83 likes and 19 comments. Now, I'll just stop there for a second. Normally, we're used to, like, you know, dick pics up there, and, like, everybody and their mother is like, oh, shit, I got to, like, retweet this. I got to put some snarky-ass comment in there and let them know how small his dick is and all that sort of shit. Nope, nope. 83 likes and 19 comments, and I'm like, sad panda face, brother. And he's just sitting there thinking.
Fuck you fucking fuckers.
So the Twitter post has got that much. It's unknown whether the seller was able to sell the car, but now the ad has been removed from the website. Now, here's the funny thing, right? They'll remove the ad faster than they'll remove copies of, like, you know, the Turner Diaries from eBay for sale, right? So it's moving at about the same speed as, like, I don't know, removing all the Dr. Seuss books for sale. So apparently, I don't know, the level of outrage, it's dependent. Right? But I'm thinking to myself, clearly the likes and the reshares were a bit anemic, and would suggest that our hero wasn't packing enough heat, which may have influenced the sale price and interest in the vehicle as a whole, right? Because, I mean, what are you doing with it? I wonder if anybody actually asked the question, so does that come with the car? You know, are you selling that too? Or is that an accessory? Or any of that sort of stuff? So, kids, the moral of the story is when you're taking some pictures of your car, you might want to go ahead and make sure that when you're posting them up, you don't want to include dick pics with them, okay? I'm just saying.
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
I mean, why go ahead and do that when you can have a more embarrassing thing? Like, for instance, when you're working with the royal family and all that, sometimes you might get caught messing around a little bit. Sometimes a 23-year-old, future queen of England might actually be hiding in the hedges when one of her footmen's posing for a dick pic, right? Now, remember, kids, last week we talked about the fact that our good queen over here, Queen Elizabeth, has endorsed Love Honey, a sex toy company, with the highest honors for, like, business development in the United Kingdom. So this week we discover that she was actually stealthily hiding inside the hedges when one of her footmen was busy taking a dick pic. So John Gibson, who served the Queen and Prince Philip for 6 years, had no idea the royal was hiding behind a hedge when he had the image of his privates taken as a prank by a group of Scottish soldiers. Do we believe for a second that it was a fucking prank? I'm just
asking. That's a scam!
Yeah, okay. Check out my knob, you know? He was left stunned when he heard Elizabeth, then age 23, laughing before she then quizzed him about the snap while he was serving dinner later that night. And he starts telling us his story. I got quite friendly with some of the Scottish soldiers who were doing guard duty outside. I'm sure they hooked up on Grindr. They used to eat in our dining room. One afternoon, they asked me for a joke, if I would like to wear a kilt. I said I would. So I went off to the staff room, exchanged clothes, and went for a walk down the drive. I'm going to stop right there. When was the last time, fellas, that you have exchanged clothes with one of your compatriots, right? Like, I don't go in over to my friends randomly and say, hey, you got a pair of pants I could go ahead and, like, you know, smuggle my budgies in? No, I don't do that shit, right? But apparently this guy's like, hey, you know what? Why don't you wear a kilt traditionally? And you know what? Here's my kilt, so why don't you go ahead and, like, stick your budgies inside your budgies inside of here and, like, I don't know, let them rattle around inside, maybe sweat a little bit on there, like the utilikilt kind of a thing, right? Why is she peeking in the bushes? I don't know, man. You're going to have to ask the good queen. She seems to be very forthcoming lately, right? So, go to wear a kilt. I said I would, so I went off to the staff room exchange and went for a walk down the drive. He was in my footman's uniform. I was in his kilt. For decency's sake, I wanted to keep my underpants on, but they told me that I wasn't allowed. It's one of the rules of the regiment. Do we believe for a second that they were trying to actually make it off
the dishes? How about new?
Fuck no, man. They weren't doing that for that. I'm saying that this is a grinder hookup that this guy is talking about. That's what I'm thinking. But we'll go on. I'm not judging. I'm just simply pointing out the facts. It's one of the rules of the regiment, allegedly. We don't wear pants in the Army. All right, guys. If some guy came up to you and said, hey, what I want you to do is go ahead and put my pants on, and by the way, you can't wear any underwear underneath it. Come on, man. Come on. John said he agreed reluctantly. Do we think for a second that this was a reluctant agreement, Carlos? I'm just kind of wondering over here.
No.
Fuck no, man. Yeah, you seem to, like, jump out of those awfully quick over there for a dick pic, bro. So he wrote, so we were on the set of this walk down on the drive. I took a camera for a laugh, and one of them took a mirror. Standing in front of a hedge, I posed in the kilt while he stood in the middle of the road taking photographs with my camera. They then wanted to know if I really had removed my pants. Suddenly, they remembered the mirror. He took it out of his pocket, put it on the ground between my feet, and then he knelt down and looked in the mirror. I can see, he yelled to others. No, he hasn't got them on. Dude, this is like an ancient version of the upskirt, okay? We all roared with laughter. So did Princess Elizabeth. None of us had the faintest idea she was on the other side of the hedge. At dinner that night, she was still laughing and wanted to know if I enjoyed having my photograph taken. Now, here's the funniest part about this, kids. He rose to the position of second footman to Princess Elizabeth after and Prince Philip before quitting his job in 1952. Oh, God. Hey, take your pants off. And by the way, I don't believe that you did. Can I, like, get down on my knees and put a mirror underneath with a camera so I can be, like, eye level with your crotch just to make sure? Yeah. Like, that isn't a script from some gay porn film somewhere. I'm just saying, man, say what you will. Yes, it's before the time of, like, freaking Tinder and Grindr and all of those things. But I'm feeling like something's missing from this story. Like, maybe this one time at band camp. Perhaps maybe a flute and maybe a haggis somewhere in the story just to make it authenticiously Scottish with like a vague sexual innuendo to boot. Yeah. Reenactment. Probably. So the moral of the story, kids, is when some guy comes over to you and says, hey, how about we swap clothes? And by the way, you got to take your underwear off and I got to go ahead and get crotch level to take a picture with a mirror down over by your balls on the ground so I can get an upskirt too. We probably don't want to do that. I'm just saying, might be a bad choice. You know what I'm saying? PSA.
Did here. I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
And things start getting a little bit weirder because now, apparently, over in the New York subway system and also over in freaking Japan, now it appears that certain men are secretly sending dick pics to strangers. Oh, my gosh. How are they doing that? Well, a number of men on the New York subway have started sending pictures of their penises to people whose airdrop settings are not sent to private. So that means you could get like Swooper Ron's dick pic. You might not even know it, right? It'll just happen because, boom, they've got that airdrop on and they want to perv the hell out of everybody around them. 28-year-old Britta Carlson became a victim of this new and somewhat disgusting trend. She told the publication she had received a message via airdrop entitled Straw, which was sent to her anonymously. It turned out to be a huge close-up picture of a, quote, disgusting penis. There are three receiving options on AirDrop. Okay, let's educate everybody. Which are available on the iPhone. A user can either set their phone to be able to receive files from everyone, just their contacts, or no one. People leaving their AirDrop on have a setting set to everyone. For AirDrop to work, you need to be within approximately 100 meters of a person. Now, the police in Fukuoka in southern Japan announced they had made their first arrest for the misuse of this function. And suddenly, everyone in Japan with an iPhone is trying to figure out how to avoid becoming a victim or, perversely, how to get away with the new form of virtual exhibition and sexual harassment. So, let's just go ahead and dissect this for one second. If you're sitting there on a subway, not anywhere near the office, no friends are close by, and somebody's got to be within, like, I don't know, 100 meters of you, and you suddenly get this ping, hey, file to upload, Straw. What dipshit is actually going to go ahead and press upload or download, whatever the fuck, right? What idiot is going to fucking do that, right? I mean, it's like, dude.
How dare you?
Come on now. You deserve everything you're going to get, the virus that comes with that. Now, do I think that this shit is acceptable? No. But it's kind of funny in a sense because I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm wondering, how on earth did the police department over in Japan find this anonymous dick pic airdropper? I mean, what do? Take pictures of it in canvas with a bunch of fucking posters, like wanted posters. Have you seen this dick? If so, please report it to the local authorities. I mean, what do? Have everybody, like, come out, all the guys come out from there and get the Scotsman that we were just talking about earlier to go ahead and get, like, knee level and just start checking all the dicks and make sure that they're appropriate and not the one that offensively was, like, airdropped on everybody. I'm just curious, how the fuck did they find this guy? Because that's weird. That's fucking weird, right? What's more of it? It's just like, yeah, I don't even want to go down that road. Now I'm starting to get into the absurd here because this is fucking absurd. Who the fuck downloads something on AirDrop from people they don't even know? Oh, good Lord, man. What year are we in? Oh, yeah. All right, man, I got to go ahead and get myself some more stuff because I'm parched. I can't imagine why. And you know what? We'll come back after this break. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Don't go ahead and download any unsolicited files from fucking AirDrop, okay? You're listening to Joculation. So I take it it's been a little bit brutal out there, has it been, Clay? I'm just kind of wondering. Wow. Anyway, kids, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. You're listening to Joculation. You know how it goes. Circle of Menacea is still growing over here. It's
one
a good thing.
Okay, that's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
Got a lot of people coming in and out, and it's cool. It's been a busy night. We've been covering a lot of ground over here. And, of course, generally speaking, we try to go ahead and touch on the things that are cultural and are very relevant and very important. And guess what? This week, I got a question. Do we have many TikTok things over
here? How about news?
Not because we did, like, a TikTok overdose last week. You know what I'm saying? I like that. Clay's thinking about buying an 8x8 block of silver. Yeah, do I believe that for a second? I'm just wondering. I mean,
how about new?
Anyway, back to the cultural shit over here. Important things are happening. So we know that lately, you know, Kim Kardashian is going through a real challenging time in her life right now. So one of her buddies thought they'd swoop in and help her out. So good old friend Gwyneth Paltrow over at Goop decided, you know what? Let me go ahead and give you an orgasm candle and a vibrator courtesy of Goop Labs because, you know, she's got such quality products over there. So amid her divorce from Kanye West, Kim Kardashian has unwrapped a sexy post-split survival kit from her very famous friend, Gwyneth Paltrow. The reality superstar showed off some racy gifts from Paltrow's Goop, which came packaged with a wooden box labeled Kim's Box of Tricks, yo. At any rate, inside, the 48-year-old actress turned quasi-entrepreneur, we'll just say snake oil salesperson, included her brand new $95 double-sided vibrator, her sex gel lubricant, Sonoval Love Aromatic Concentrate, and the pièce de résistance of Kardashian's pleasurable package. Guess what, kids? A custom candle created in collaboration with Heretic called What Else? This Smells Like Kim's Orgasm. I mean, oh my God.
That's a scam!
Everything is overpriced, Julia. Everything is. Oh, my God. And the best thing is, of course, they're all like, what is that phrase that she uses? Hold on a second. Alternative, like medical, whatever the fuck, professional certified. One of those things. I'll get to it a little bit later. It's further down. So once she receives this package of whatever the hell this stuff is, she's like, oh, I've never been so excited, honestly, for the candle. Thank you, Gwyneth. I love you. Thanks, Goop. Your very own vagina candle, you say, Miss Kardashian? Well, curiosity might have you wondering if they've successfully captured and branded the essence of your crotch rot. You might want to rethink lighting that puppy up. And the whole reason why is, as we know in the past, Goop has had this problem with some of their products potentially, I don't know, getting some lawsuits associated with them. But I'd have to say that one of the things I never saw coming was, you know, the candle that smells like my vagina thing blowing up. So she's got exploding candles now, apparently, according to this article. A man who says he bought a This Smells Like My Vagina candle from Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop company claims it could have killed him when it exploded.
I mean, what the fuck?
And now he's filed class action lawsuits about it. So Watson claims that he lit the candle for the first time in February and placed it on his nightstand, a level surface, and insists there was nothing close to touching the candle and no open windows or drafts in his bedroom. After burning for an estimated 3 hours or less, the candle became engulfed in high flames and exploded soon afterwards.
I mean, what the fuck?
And the room was filled with smoke. Watson alleges the candle also left a black burn ring on his nightstand and says the jar is charred and black. He acknowledges the candle comes with a limited warning on Goop.com, including cautioning not to burn the candle for more than 2 hours at a time. But Goop fails to warn that the candle could cause significant injuries when it explodes. And he calls the vagina candles, quote, inherently dangerous.
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, shit, dude, where do we even fucking begin with this, right? A fucking exploding candle. Jeez, man, I would have thought that the ingredients to recreate the essence of crotch rot from Gwyneth would turn out, who would have thought it would have turned out to be fucking explosive napalm? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh my God, what the fuck? What the fuck is going on? He's lighting it up, explosion, nearly
dead.
It's like, holy fuck, everything's going to fucking die in here. So, I mean, I've heard of gag candles like going from apple pie to unclean ass stench in 2 hours, but exploding is a first. I mean, Britney Spears burned down the yoga studio in her house with, like, KFC-scented gravy candles, right? So I'm thinking what she should probably do is the sensible thing when it comes to a business, which is find a new market. So she should probably contract with the Department of Defense for some, like, next-gen incendiary weapons filled with her vagina candle essence of crotch rot. I mean, at least this way, the civilians that it kills can't file, like, class action lawsuits, right? And at least we're going in the right fucking direction.
Yeah!
I mean, holy fuck, man. Warning labels against burning the candle for more than 2 continuous hours? What the fuck is a person going to do with, like, 2 hours left from a Viagra pill or, like, 10 hours from a botched cock ring strangling of your penis like we've seen in these past few weeks? I'm just left there wondering what the fuck is going to happen, right? By the way, I just want to let you know, Watson, no worries about that black ring of burn on the nightstand. I'm sure Goop is just going to send you a tube of their, like, functional medical practitioner-inspired anal bleaching cream from Dr. Bunsen Honeydew's Goop Lab to help turn that brown eye pink in no time on that freaking stand. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry about it. We'll just, like, rub out the stains a little bit. Now, listen. LP is here to go ahead and help you guys make sensible purchases, right? Safe things. It's like all of those Mother's Day inspired gift ideas that I came up with and things. So the next time you have a hankering and you go on there and say, vaginal crystals to balance my chakra, I don't know. Vaginal steam kits are probably going to go ahead and, you know, coddle my balls a little bit too hard and maybe scorch the skin on the outside. Things like that. You got to think about sensible, good gifts that are safe, that sort of have that same sort of a feel, right? So what we're looking for is it's like, you know, they've got like a somewhat spotty safety record, but I'm here to provide the safer alternative to capture the cheesy yet unique essence of Goop Lab products with something a little less likely to end up with you as a co-plaintiff in a class action lawsuit. So the kind of things that I'm thinking are wonderful things like this fantastic crochet penis blanket for a cozy nights on the sofa. So you can now get yourself your very own crocheted penis blanket. And it's a handmade blanket. They're perfect for a cozy night on the couch. And they're specially designed so you can hop in the shaft, completely cocooning yourself. And the blankets even come with removable balls at the bottom. I mean, come on, man. This is absolutely a wonderful, safe, sensible alternative to that dangerous Goop shit. And if you're looking for it, all you got to do is just go right over here on Etsy. Of course, I give all the links where you can buy this shit. And get yourself your very own, like, dick and ball-shaped Snuggie that you, too, can go on the couch and you can just absolutely, you know, I don't know, embrace it, if you will. And in the event that that's not your thing and you're maybe more of a visual arts person, then maybe what you want to do is talk to this person who won this fantastic auction so that you can perhaps own a picture of an oil painting of Channing Tatum's ball sack. That's right, kids. So a couple months back, there was an eBay listing for an original oil painting of Channing Tatum and his prominently displayed ball sack. We suggested that you score it for a cool buy of $230. However, in a true testament to the written word of this particular article, a bidding war ensued, pushing the Chris Mann original from an initial bid of $175 to a winning bid of $6,600 just one day after publication. If the actual crypto market is bringing you down and it's hurting you, art is a wonderful thing to invest in. NFTs are a huge thing. Why don't you just go ahead, take some of those profits that you used to have in crypto, and just invest them in this wonderful, family-friendly, sensible alternative to, like, you know, vagina candles and shit like that. You can hang it over your mantle, and you could have Channing Tatum's ball sack grace you every night as you're sitting there drinking your eggnog over the holiday season. You know what I'm saying? Sensible, safe, wonderful. That's what LP is here for. I mean, you could do what they did with the Banksy, right? You could just make an NFT of it. You can go ahead and burn the original copy. And then you could just sell NFTs of it all over the place for, like, I don't know, five times the price. And I bet you somebody will buy it. Why? Because it's Channing Tatum. That's right. All right, kids, time for another break. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Wow, that, you know what was so wonderful about that song was that it was 4 minutes long. I'll tell you what, I have to generally stack, like, I don't know, 16 punk songs to get 4 minutes out of time. But geez, all I got to do is just take like one Megadeth song and move it over here and go play. And it's just like, hey, look at that. I can actually just kind of like sit back here and do other things rather than go, oh, shit, did 5 seconds go by already? Did I miss my mark? Hey, kids, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. We've got maybe 30 minutes left. I mean, hey, you know, it's how it goes. This actually like flies by over here. We move quickly through this whole thing. Now, if you'll remember, last week we went in depth. That would be in episode 96. We went in depth in all of those fantastic TikTok beauty hack fails that, you know, from microderm freaking abrasion kind of stuff where you drag a scalpel across your face to microneedling to like microwaving your face to all kinds of things, right? Well, I figured that maybe this week what we'd do is take a look at other types of things, specifically facials that have been going on, because that term has been coming up an awful lot, you know, and it's just like that term's been coming up a lot. And I thought we'd go into some basic stuff, right? So the very first thing that's going on right now is there's a huge movement, a huge trend inside the world of like coffee scrub facials. So like over the past few years, coffee scrubs have become a skincare mainstay. They're great exfoliators, and just about anybody can use them. It's the combination of exfoliation to remove dry skin and potent moisturizers that make these scrubs moisturizing. And another reason the coffee scrubs have become all the rage is due to the caffeine. Caffeine stimulates dilation while the scrubbing motion increases circulation. Fellas, we know all about that, don't we? With the rubbing motion increasing circulation. At any rate, I'll move on. Plumping up the skin, making cellulite look slow, so much less obvious. And thanks to the antioxidants contained in the coffee grounds, the scrubs can pump up your body's collagen production, allegedly, which can also help smooth out cellulite. Sounds wonderful, right? They've always been recommended for cellulite. New to me, because am I concerned with cellulite right now at this stage of my life?
How about new?
Not really. Not really. Hey, man, the AARP is already contacting me, and I'm not even like 50 yet, so go figure, right? Much less 60. Where was I? Yeah, so help smooth out cellulite. If your skin's prone to breakouts, though, you might want to steer clear of coffee scrubs. Breakouts are caused by pore blockages that are below the surface of your skin. These scrubs will not penetrate deep enough to clear them up and instead can irritate already inflamed areas. Coffee scrubs are the worst things you can put down the drain also. Because even if you use a finely ground coffee scrub just once a week, it'll eventually mix with the oils of your pipe and coagulate. And household chemicals can't break down grounds. So if you get a blockage, you're going to have to call a plumber. So when you stop and think about it, right, this sounds absolutely freaking wonderful over here. Just imagine, on the plus side of things, after like butt-chugging that pot of coffee for a colonic in the morning, not only do you get the ass noodles that pour out of your ass from it, but you also get to like recycle the grounds to sandblast your face and clog the, and even clog the drains of your sinks. How awesome is that? I mean, shit. Right? So when we stop and think about it, there's so many things to choose from. If you go ahead and actually Google like coffee ground facial fails, it's just awesome, the library of experiences that are out there. And, you know, it's pretty conventional and it's pretty normal out there. Apparently everybody wants to do a coffee facial nowadays. But remember, kids, we're looking for the fringe, the cutting edge, the things that are going to really go ahead and drive the beauty market hacks moving forward. And, I mean, we really don't have to look far before we're suddenly accosted, or maybe it just falls into your feed like it does with me, because you're so optimized for this shit, it just finds you instead. But you don't have to go very far to go ahead and find some cutting-edge and wonderful breakthroughs in face mask and skin rejuvenation, such as like when a woman uses her friend's breast milk to make a rejuvenating face mask. I'll say this again. When a woman uses her friend's breast milk to make a rejuvenating face mask.
I mean, what the fuck?
Anarchist likes when I say facial. Do you want me to make a drop of myself saying facial anarchist? Is that what you're saying? Because, I mean, that's just a little bit weird. You know what I mean?
How dare you?
So beauty and skincare influencer has shared a controversial skincare regime, whatever it is, by revealing she's using her friend's breast milk as a facial. TikToker, of course, Little Extra, simply applied the milk to her face before going on to her usual skincare routine, describing it as, quote, literally just liquid gold in your nipples.
I can't do this.
Liquid gold in your nipples. Holy fucking shit, man. All right. Let's get serious. Let's get through this, LP. It's actually the perfect time to do this because my skin is so shitty right now, it's not even funny. And I'm extremely puffy and I have a ton of redness. Yes, I just put my lips, I just put it on my lips. And yes, I just tasted my friend's titty milk. Dude, this is class with a capital K. Hold on a second. All right. When asked by a follower to explain further, she said, it's full of human growth factor, natural fat, which is very moisturizing. It will clear up any redness or eczema, and you can also put it in your hair. And all I can think about here is, I mean, I suppose if you're in a pinch and you don't have like some baby foreskins to take over to the medical day spa and whip up into a facial like Kate Beckinsale, or if like organizing a bukkake seems like a little bit of a logistical nightmare, no problem, man. Just have a pregnant friend lactate all over your face like you're starring in a fetish video at the porn shop. Smooth, beautiful skin with the minor inconvenience of a screaming, hungry baby. You know what I'm saying? You can't make this shit up. And I'm like, wow, that's like pretty fucking fringe. But then I thought about myself, you know, sometimes the problem might arise where you don't have a pregnant friend to lactate all over you. You don't have, like, you know, baby foreskins easily at hand. Maybe the medical day spa is closed and they still got face masks going on there. Or, I mean, perhaps you can't organize a bukkake. I mean, what does a person do? What does a woman in this particular case do? Well, or should I say like a holder of vagina or a chest feeder? What do you do in this particular situation? Well, you know, extreme times require extreme measures. Like, for instance, doing a period blood face mask. Yes. Yes, this shit happens. Yes, there are people that are actually capturing their menstrual blood and they're using it as a beauty hack and a face treatment.
I mean, what the fuck?
Like something out of fucking Dexter. All right, so a few months ago, and this is told from this woman's Cosmopolitan article that she's writing, a few months ago, I came across a bizarre and beautiful article from Days titled, quote, Five Uses for Your Period Blood. My own period blood had zero uses at the time, so this intrigued me. I'm going to stop right there. Guys, Imagine, for instance, you came across an article that said, hey, here's five uses for that semen that's over inside of that cum rag you've got sitting next to you. I mean, would you be intrigued? Would you be sitting there going, you know, he's got a point. You know what I'm saying? It's a little bit fucking weird. But then again, you know, back a few episodes ago, we covered the whole gambit of semen cocktails that were going on there. And, you know, you could just go back in the fucking library here to find Semen Cocktails, episode 87, if you're keeping track, over on the podcast. You can check it out over there. So there is a whole thing about semen cocktails over there and, you know, breast milk cheese. So I suppose, like, period blood face masks are not something that is very, like, fringe, right? At any rate, let's continue on. I don't know why, but we'll do that. The first question was, do a face mask. And my beauty-obsessed, body-loving brain bypassed the what-the-fuck stage and went straight to the I-must-try-this stage. Okay. I'm a little confused. Fine, maybe there was a momentary ripple of repulsion, but I quickly realized that the reaction was mostly stemming from my pure patriarchal BS. I mean, I'm definitely not the first person to Google, is semen good for skin? And there are countless articles about esthetician Georgia Louise's viral penis facial made from human foreskin cells, loved by a classy lady Kate Blanchett. So if dicks can make it into the mainstream beauty, why should period blood be any different? Okay. Yes, I covered Natural Harvest under that particular show, 87 there, Gabriel. You can go ahead and read all about this inside the links, because I'm not going to go into this, like, real freaking long article that she went ahead and wrote trying to get rid of all of her guilt and shame and trying to qualify that this is, like, you know, normal and all that stuff. But I'm just, like, thinking after I read this, so, like, in short, I'm just going to give you a synopsis. Ladies, when that monthly friend stops by and you feel like your skin is looking dry, dead, and lifeless, I mean, just paint that menstrual blood on your face, Braveheart style, like a Celtic tribe preparing for war. Unleash your inner Boudica and feel that skin become instantly rejuvenated as it cakes right onto your face. There you go. How's that? So go check out that article. Of course, it's Cosmopolitan. And, you know, feel free to give some feedback either when the article gets posted on Hive or over on Anchor, whichever you want. But oh my God. Oh my God. We have covered so much this evening, and there's still so much more that we've got to go ahead and cover. You know, for instance, let's talk about progressive industries and business and things that I think we should go ahead and bring, good values we need to bring over here to America. For instance, I can see how understanding Japan is in that, look at this. They've got a fantastic grievance system, right? You can go ahead and sit there if you've got, like, family members that die, you get bereavement time. You know, if you've got family issues you've got to take care of, they'll give that to you as well. But what's even better is if your pop star winds up retiring, you can go ahead and have 10 days of time to go ahead and mourn your idol's retirement because, you know, it's important. So under Hiroro's new vacation system, employees are allowed to take up to 10 days paid off when their favorite idol is getting married. They're also entitled to 10 days of bereavement leave, which is usually taken to mourn a relative's death if the idol is retiring. If one's second or even third favorite is stepping off the stage, employees can take up to 3 days off. So I'll tell you what, guys, what I'll be happy to do for you is if you go ahead and put me down as your first idol and you happen to be working over in Japan, I'll retire every other week so you can get, like, 10 days paid vacation off just so that you can mourn when I go ahead and retire that week. How about that? I mean, I might require a fee, but, you know, I'll be happy to go ahead and take the hit for you just to make sure that you can spend more of your time doing the things that you care about and less of your time actually being a salary man in Japan. How is that? Does that work out for everybody? Jesus Christ. Yes, Nine, I need to move to Japan. I saw that. I'm like, what in the hell am I doing over here? Too hard to work. I have so many idols. And the best part is you get it for your top three idols, right? So your top one, you get 10 days of bereavement. For your second and third, you get 3 days of bereavement. I'm thinking, like, you know, you get a couple of people here on MSP. We'll go ahead and, like, you know, all retire at varying times. And boom, there you go, man. No problem. And then we'll do, like, share and keep coming back and retiring again because, you know, we still got to get paid even though we don't. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. But by far, probably the best story that I stumbled across is, you know, we've touched the gambit of penises, testicles, vaginas, all of it. One place we haven't gone into, delved into, is stories of the ass. And, of course, I come across a person who worked in an ER for a decade, shares the favorite thing that they found up someone's ass. Let me just...
I mean, what the fuck?
Let me say that again. Person who worked in ER for a decade shares favorite thing they found up someone's bum. Now, let me just stop there and say, if my job inside the ER is to look up people's asses every day, you know, like a proctologist, the last thing that I would do is have, like, my greatest hits list of all the things that I remember people shoving up their asses, you know? And all I can think about is the Darwin Awards. So, let's talk about the least favorite thing. So he goes over in there and it's a red. And he's like, I worked in the ER for 10 years and I have a lot of these, but my favorite was a rolled up newspaper with staples in it wrapped in duct tape. I'm going to say that again. I worked in the ER for 10 years. I have a lot of these, but my favorite thing someone shoved up their ass was a rolled up newspaper with staples in it wrapped in duct tape.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'm just speechless, man. And then, of course, come the comments. The staples ended up shredding his colon, and he needed emergency surgery. But when the doc asked him, what happened? He just sheepishly said he really likes the news. Oh, made butt plug. With staples? For fuck's sake, man. I like the news. Well, you know. So the post left Reddit users asking even more questions. But why staples in it? I'm not judging if people wish to explore things, but why not just do newspaper and duct tape? I just don't understand why the staples. I'm bothered. I'm fixated on this. Another commenter added, that's the saddest do-it-yourself dildo I've ever heard of. A third chimed in. Anything you can think of that sickens you, give someone out there a boner. Indeed. Staples make ridges. Like ridges on potato chips? Ruffles have ridges. Oh, my God. No, the ridges in this case, 9, shredded his colon. So that wasn't a good idea. So she then, again, spent 3 hours in a hospital last year. Samantha Polensky or whatever. Spent 3 hours in a hospital last year. After a stainless steel butt plug approximately 3 inches in length vanished up her bum during an encounter with a Tinder date. What a fucking way to have it. And while she admits the whole thing was more than a little bit embarrassing, she strongly recommends anyone who finds himself in similar circumstances to do the same thing. You're going to feel like you're the only one this has happened to, but it definitely isn't. There are plenty of other people out there who've gone through the same experience. It just doesn't get talked about. They're not going to judge you. Don't be embarrassed. They deal with this kind of stuff regularly. Just go to the ER, get help. I decided to share it out of pure quarantine boredom. It's given people a good laugh during lockdown. You'll have party stories for the rest of your life. You're always going to be the funniest person in the room, hands down. Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally comfortable with this. That's why I'm sitting here writing a paragraph about how it's perfectly normal and don't worry about it. You know something? This is probably on TikTok somewhere. I think next week what I'm going to have to do is take a look and see if I can find, like, best TikTok stories about butt plug mishaps. I'm sure it's out there. I'd hate to go ahead and reveal my hand of what's on the slate next week, but I think I'm going to have to go ahead and do this just because this story jumped into my feed and said, read me. And I was like, hey, you want me to read you? No problem. And then I'm sitting there looking at this and I'm like, staples? Fucking staples? I mean,
how dare you?
Jesus Christ, man. Staples. Good God. Boy, I shredded his asshole in about 5 seconds. Hey, oh, shit. I was just off in another world. And I realized it's almost time to go. We've got to do the show recap real quick. All right, kids, so what do? We started off by sitting there saying, hey, guys, you know what? Thank you for all the subscribes. It's more than I could possibly have imagined for. I appreciate everybody out in podcast land that's done that. Thanks so much. Do me a favor. Share it with a friend. Get them to subscribe. Let's go ahead and grow this thing organically. Again, thanks for everything. You guys are the fucking greatest. We went and talked about Instagram influencer who claimed $100,000 in COVID support cash and then was discovered to have applied for another $9 million. By doing what? Cracking into the DMV, stealing everybody's personal information, and giving them their fair share of the U.S. deficit that's coming due. But of course, you got to collect all the money. And then we talked about how fantastically awesome things people did with the COVID funds, such as the town over in Japan that used $235,000 of public COVID funds on a massive illuminated squid, allegedly to go ahead and actually to grow the tourism industry. Because, I mean, they stuck it right next to a souvenir shop and they put a lot of lights on it, so therefore, tourism. Then we talked about a Florida teen that was accused of rigging a homecoming queen election with her mom, and now she faces charges, federal charges, could face up to 16 years in prison because she wanted to go ahead and cheat and stuff a ballot box to win a homecoming election because we got our finger on the important things. And then there was a Texas woman that was charged with a felony for not returning a VHS tape 20 years later, which, of course, you know, again, wonderful use of resources. And then we had a shining example of how you should go ahead and respect authority, how you should treat the human being, how you should treat officers like a human being. When the Kansas Senate Majority Leader referred to a police officer as Donut Boy and told him that he could take him while he was drunk on a wrong way highway chase, according to court documentation. And then, of course, we don't have to worry about that. George is ahead of the curve. They're going to make sure that all this criminality goes out the door because they signed a brand new bill that would make daylight savings time permanent and criminals would have one less hour in the evening to commit their crimes because they love it. And then we also have a dude, we got into the whole dick pic thing. There was a dude who was trying to sell his car, was kind enough to include two dick pics along with the 40 other pics that he had to put up for his car in the photo gallery. And unfortunately, our friend here, our hero, only received about 19 comments and 83 likes before it was pulled. The plug was pulled on him because he clearly wasn't packing enough heat inside of that. And we talked about how the queen basically caught one of her footmen taking a dick pic over in the garden when she was 23 and was laughing and thought it was funny and asked him how much he liked his photograph over inside of the when he was serving dinner. And of course, we delved a little bit deeper. There might be a little bit more to the story there. But hey, you know, when you got some guy who's like on his knees in front of you with a mirror on the ground doing an upskirt, checking to make sure that the fruit is still ripe over there, looking to make sure that you don't have your knickers on, so to speak. I don't know. There might be a little more to it than just ha 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 funny. At any rate, then we talked about how men on the subway are sending anonymous dick pics to strangers via the Apple AirDrop. And, you know, people are apparently downloading this and they actually went ahead and went to Fukuoka, Japan, where they arrested somebody who did this because I'm assuming they canvassed the place with wanted posters asking if you've seen this dick lately. And then on top of that, we went into how Kim Kardashian, in this terrible moment of her divorce, wound up getting a gift from Gwyneth Paltrow. And what was it? It was her very own Kim's box of tricks with a candle that, quote, smells like Kim's orgasm. And then we discovered shortly afterwards that that candle is, in fact, some sort of a weapon because perhaps loaded with napalm because Goop is being sued for her vagina candle that blew up. So, of course, you know, we went through all of his grievances that he, you know, used it for 3 hours or less and the shit exploded, left a scorch mark on his thing. Very dangerous. So LP thought the smart thing to do was, hey, let's turn around and give some safe, sensible gift ideas, such as the crochet penis blanket that has some attachable balls at the bottom to keep your feet warm. And then we also talked about potentially using some of that fantastic crypto money, those profits that used to be around that have evaporated into thin air, to go ahead and perhaps purchase the Channing Tatum's ball sack that was bought, that beautiful oil painting, for $6,600. Very sensible, very safe, very reasonable, right? And then we went ahead and took a look at the untold truths of coffee scrubs. We also delved deeper into a woman using her friend's breast milk to make a rejuvenating face mask to bring her skin back to life. And then on top of that, we talked about period blood face masks for a short period of time. And then we went ahead and reminisced and sat around the fire and heard some heartwarming stories from an ER nurse that was talking about their favorite stories of things that people shoved up their ass. And apparently at the top of the list is a rolled up newspaper filled with staples wrapped up with some duct tape because ridges, I guess, right? And guess what, kids? That's about all there is. There is nothing more. This is the end of the show. So if y'all came out here and you hung out with me, thanks for staying. Those of you that hung out, had to leave, we'll catch you on the recording. Thanks again for everybody that supports the show. Thanks for everything that you guys have been doing for me. Thanks for coming and keeping me company on a Friday night, listening to me rant a little bit over here. Be sure to go ahead and check out my Twitter feed to go ahead and keep up with all things LP. Go over to the podcast and subscribe if you'd like. You've got all of the old episodes over there. More shit's coming. It's just lots to do, too few hours in the day. You know how it is. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret across the stage of life, always be sure to ask yourself, why watch a show when you can be the show? I'm LP Faust checking out. Take care. Catch you next week. Goodbye.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.